Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I have a special friend with me tonight.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard. Good to speak to you live again. It's been a while.
Indeed, it has. And I think that we're going to have a special show. You know, I say this every time we get on the air. Of course, we're going to have a special show. But tonight is. Strikes me as a little more special than usual. Because today we're going to be bringing forth Mr. Kennedy, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And Richard, just tell the audience for a second what he wanted to talk about.
Yes, he wanted to talk about essentially what's going on in the world currently, whatever that means. I guess we'll find out what he means.
Sounds like a big topic to me. And so, my friends, we're going to have Richard connect. And then, after Mr. Kennedy's message, I would like for you to call in your questions. So, Richard, you do such a great job of this. I would like for you to connect to Mr. Kennedy and explain to the audience what it feels like, his energy, so that they will be able to tune into him also. And what I would suggest to those who are listening is you all know what he looked like. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago that he was here walking on earth among all of us. So in your third eye, see the picture of what he looked like when he was here. And then when you hear Richard's descriptions of his energies, see if you can connect with him because it's possible. Not only that, it's exciting. So, Richard, tell the audience, my dear, what you feel.
Yes, I experience his energy as a very strong energy. It's not exactly in the center of my chest, it's a little to the left. And it is very focused energy. It feels a very clean and clear energy. And it conveys. People use that word statesman, and really it is the energy of a statesman that I feel. It carries an integrity, a truth about it. There's no, the energy does not kind of spread out, and hence in that spreading out might imply uncertainty or lack of clarity or character. But carries that, as I say, that strength. There is love in this energy, though it's not its primary focus. It is more that power and integrity and strength. It carries energies of leadership. None of this is very surprising given the individual that he was, and it's kind of interesting how consistent it is with how he came across in the world when he was with us. That's all you get, Carolyn.
Got my nickel's worth, huh?
Well, I don't know, but that's all you get.
Well, he said he had a message, and he is there. He's got the floor. So, what does he want to tell this audience and any of those people who, after this show, listen to this tape?
So let us see what he has to say. My dear friends, I appreciate this opportunity to step forth in this manner. When my life was cut short, it never occurred to me that it would be at any point in the future possible for me to come forth and speak with anyone in the future in this manner. But as events unfolded, and I began to understand a little more about who I was in a soul sense once I crossed over and could begin to examine the future, I could indeed foresee this possibility unfolding as events unfolded in your world. And so even though I saw this possibility, it is still a great honor and pleasure to be able to come forth and speak with you in this manner. And I speak to you in part from the view that I had of your world, and particularly the United States, when I was present upon the planet, and also from the perspective of where I stand now, which is, you might say, behind the scenes, assisting in any way that I can to see the very necessary changes in your world come forth. And as Richard mentioned, I did mention to him earlier that I wanted to speak primarily to you about the time in which you find yourselves, because that is the most relevant issue on the minds of all of you. Any of you listening to this program are almost certain to have some awareness of the plans and expectations that exist for the unfolding of events at the end of this calendar year and beyond, beginning in particular with that December 2012 solstice. And I will say to you that from where I stand, all indeed is on track for all that is due to unfold. If you examine the events that have been happening in your world over the last few months, especially perhaps over the last 30 to 60 days, you will see a gradual increase in the frustrations of humanity, in particular in the Western world, as to how life has been unfolding. And no longer are many people willing to accept the decisions being made by their politicians or by their financial institutions. This horrendous process that began with the global financial crisis in 2008, which saw a massive amount of public assets transferred to the banking community to supposedly save them from their own errors, their own indulgences, the burdening of the public of massive debt, which has continued in Europe since that time, especially in Greece and Ireland and Portugal and Spain, is leading to massive outcry. Some of you have been aware of the protests in Greece, and those currently happening in Spain are of even greater power. The unemployment rate in Spain is currently some 25% and over 50% amongst young people. And the protests are occurring in all of the major cities and major towns in Spain, yet this is receiving very little publicity. There is also major protests happening in Mexico. And of course, the protests, although a little more complex, similarly connected in the French-speaking area of Canada, in particular in Quebec. And so what you're beginning to see is a rising up in protest. What you're also seeing is the brazen activity of the financial institutions and others who believe they have succeeded. They believe they have won. They believe they have reached the point where they can move to tighten the noose on humanity. And as has long been said, those who believed they could control humanity will see that victory snatched from them just as they make that final lunge for it. And this indeed is what is happening. Humanity is beginning to protest. And it was never going to be enough that someone turn up and save humanity from all of this. It was necessary for humanity in general to begin to recognize what was happening, to recognize, you might say, off their own bat, what has been going on, and to say enough is enough, to demand change in how life works on this planet, to begin to recognize that so much of life has been controlled or is in the process of being controlled. The activities of what is known as Big Pharma, the large pharmaceutical companies, to not only control the provision of chemicals and compounds and so on for supposedly dealing with health issues, when indeed so often they are really about prolonging conditions so that the patients remain on those drugs for the remainder of their lifetime, along with the suppression of natural healing compounds and mechanisms that nature has provided not only to humanity but indeed to other animals on the planet. The efforts by, in particular, Monsanto, but other companies associated with them, to control all of the plant life which is used by humanity to generate food. The control of the energy supply, not only by the oil companies, but those power generation companies, to control the energy supply and to charge rapacious rates for that energy, when indeed there is no shortage of energy supply, even when one looks at it from the point of view of fossil fuels. Any shortage is simply a creation of those who exercise that control. And of course, we have mentioned the financial side. So there are many threads to these controls. Of course, in the political arena, there is now very tight control of both sides of government, and many of you have already recognized this. And indeed, it was this control that was also well entrenched in my time and led to my demise, as many of you have come to understand, because I refused to participate in that process. And so you find yourselves in that moment when all of these mechanisms of control are gathered together. All of the companies are woven together, interlinked, and controlled by a small group at the top, some of which has begun to be understood by some. And so this control is in place. And you might say they have begun to reach for the final mechanisms to destroy the current financial system and to bring forth a one-world currency and a one-world government. Of course, the United Nations and all of that associated infrastructure is all part and parcel of the New World Order structure. Most of humanity has not yet recognized this, but that indeed is the truth of the matter. So there are so many threads to this, and it is not possible for me to list them all, but rather to make you aware that although this will intensify further as you move through the next months. I say months because the exact moment of the ending of this is a little unclear from where I stand, but certainly the certainty of its ending is during this calendar year. And so I anticipate it will become more difficult for many as humanity is given this shock to awaken to the truth of their circumstances. The fact that they have given their power away to a few that they have trusted and have no basis for trusting those individuals. And it is time for humanity to begin to claim their own sovereignty, to claim their own lives back from those who would control them. And this force will gather momentum very, very quickly. As you have recognized, the mainstream media is to a large degree suppressing these processes. Very little publicity is given to what occurred in Iceland, where those Icelandic people elected a government that would not stand for the abuse of the banks. And indeed, it is the Icelandic model which will roll out across the rest of the world as people will begin to say, this is not acceptable. This is not going to continue. And there are some other threads to this that I do not want to get into, but I will say to you that all of this is coming to a head in an extremely powerful way, so that there is recognition by humanity in general about the level of abuse and control that has been put in place and how close all of this is to imprisoning humanity in general. So close. But it will not be allowed to occur. Those who have sought to control humanity and indeed have got very close to it have long been given the opportunity to mend their ways. And as you can see, they have not. These are the same forces at the highest levels that precipitated the fall in Atlantis. They are the same forces at work, and they did not learn from that experience, and they have not learned from this one. And so they will get to walk a long journey. They are amongst those who will survive these challenges and these changes. And so I come forth with a message to alert those of you who have not really begun to look at all of this about these changes and about these pressures that are at work. The Occupy Wall Street movement is another example of this, though its publicity has been somewhat blunted in more recent times. All of these threads are pointing to these changes, and they are being encouraged and driven by the energies that have been coming to the planet over the last 2 or 3 years. And it is all coming to a head, my friends. I am not saying this will be easy or painless over the next few months, because many people will find it very disruptive, and they will find themselves in difficult financial circumstances as these events unfold. But I say to you, their suffering will be short-lived, because all of this will be for the better. All of this really precedes the unfolding of this shift in consciousness that has long been planned. And so I bring not only a message of awakening, you might say, but a message of hope, because indeed the events that will unfold will be for the liberation of humanity, not for their control and suffering. So that is my message, a message of hope as I watch events unfold. And so it is I round up my message to you in this moment, and I wish all of you well.
I'd like to thank you for your kind message of hope, because the world certainly does need hope at this moment. Richard and I have been following the events that you speak of, and it has caused us great sadness. And it seems to me that you mention it is not going to be allowed. Who or what is going to change this? Does the change rest solely in the hands of humanity? Or are there other forces that will be at work to help humanity to throw off that yoke of oppression?
Your question is a very telling one, because indeed there has always been assistance to humanity. It has just not been visible. Indeed, you might consider the fall in Atlantis as having been a help to humanity, even though it does not look like that from the context of the consciousness in which you currently live. But indeed, it was a step precipitated by those who oversee the progression of humanity and oversaw the interference by the dark with humanity. And so there have been those forces that have been overseeing and influencing, you might say, from afar. And also, there is a cyclical process at work here. It, in a sense, was always planned that those who wish to control humanity be given their chance to choose other than, but not to be allowed to succeed. And so this, the energies that have been coming to the planet, that are coming from cosmic center for the most part, have been encouraging those who are on the verge of springing their trap, you might say, to be emboldened in their activities, to believe that they could succeed, in a sense, as a result, to expose themselves. And at the same time, the energies have been coming which are awakening humanity. These protests that you are seeing on so many levels, in so many different forms, are a reflection of those energies also. And so you might say these energies that have been flowing to the planet, as I mentioned over the last 2 or 3 years, have been fostering these events on both sides so that it could all come to a head. And so there is assistance on many levels. There are also great beings that have chosen to incarnate and be present in this time. For the most part, they remain invisible to the public, but they will come forth when the time is appropriate, and they will help humanity to understand rather better what is unfolding. Many beings have come forth to put the pieces of understanding in place, to do the research which demonstrates that humanity has had a time of much greater, you might say, spiritual success and indeed technical development in a way prior to this time that has been buried and suppressed. That information has been brought forth in many forms so that it can be shown to humanity when the time is right. There are those who have studied the Mayan calendar and understood its meaning and value, and so on. So all of these individuals, you might say, indicated with particular roles and tasks to undertake so that all of this could come together in this time. All of these threads could be drawn together so that the pieces were all in place as this singularity is approached at the end of this calendar year with that December 2012 solstice. So you might say there are many forms of support, some of which are arising from within humanity because of the beings that have the monads, you might say, that have sent forth incarnations in this time. In part, assistance from beings off-planet who have been overseeing the progression of humanity even since before humanity was present on the planet. And those forces that have sent energies forth, not only from all there is in the center of the cosmos, but indeed from other sources, to assist with this preparation and unfolding. So you might say there has been a great deal of assistance, and indeed the outcomes are inevitable. Indeed, I would say that those who come forth and say all of this unfolding, all of this spiritual progression relies upon humanity cooperating in some manner, I will say to you that if any step forward with the spiritual development of humanity relies upon the cooperation of humanity, it was by definition doomed, as all of your past history will demonstrate to you. To rely on humanity cooperating in this manner is simply very far-fetched. So I will say to you, all the pieces are in place and all is unfolding as it has been planned and intended.
Thank you for your answer. When you were here as our president, I felt that you were one who was a statesman, that you were interested more in the betterment of humanity, the country, rather than feathering your own nest, so to speak. And yet today, as I look at both the Republicans and the Democrats, there seems to be so much corruption. It does not seem to be a statesman among them. And I want your opinion of that. What is going to change that? How are we going to get people in the government that will be considered statesmen again?
As I indicated to you earlier, both sides of government are controlled, and that is not only in this country, but indeed across the planet. And it was very much in place in my time. And as I said, it was my unwillingness to abide by those pressures, those forces, you might say, that led to my demise. And so it is the case today that no politician can seriously consider holding a high office and be free of this influence. Yes, there are a small number that have made it into the Congress of this country that have retained an independence from these forces. And I have to say it has surprised me that they have continued to survive, but indeed survive they have. But anyone contemplating higher office such as the presidency cannot occupy such a role without being subject to these forces. Similarly, the perception that the president is in charge of the military or indeed has access to all knowledge and information that may be held by those powers that control so much in this country and across the globe is simply naive. There are some 40 to 50 levels of secrecy clearance above the level of the president. It is hard to imagine such a thing, but that indeed is the case in the United States today. And so the president is to a large degree a figurehead with very little power and very little authority. And the only way this will change is through the processes that are beginning to unfold that I have described. It is these processes, and indeed it is beyond this consciousness shift, where such things will change. And the nature of leadership and the requirements of leadership and of government will be very, very different beyond this shift in consciousness. So do not be concerned about assessing the nature of the statesman, if you will, within the context of the current political system. You, I know, understand that, for example, the current electoral system, the voting system in the United States, can be very easily rigged. It indeed is one of the reasons that it was made electronic in the first place, so that it could be manipulated, as it is indeed manipulated today, in several different ways. So even that process is not reflecting the will of the people. So do not place your expectation upon a change in how this works in this current consciousness. It simply won't change. And so beyond it, you will see the changes that are necessary.
Thank you. From your perspective, what is your opinion as to what will be going on in Syria? I know that a lot of the actual news has been blanked out to or blacked out to us to understand what is happening. And it seems to me that the power brokers are working again on trying to take over that country. And as I said, what is your perspective of how that is going to fall out, so to speak?
As you have recognized, the forces at work within the American military are supporting the so-called rebels within Syria to see a change of regime in that country. And it is my view that this change is inevitable. There is so much posturing going on in the United Nations and elsewhere, which is simply window dressing, as you should understand it. It means nothing in the sense of bringing forth any real support for the existing regime. And so it is my view that there will be a regime change in Syria. However, Syria really is just a pawn in the game. And it is my view that there will be, very soon after the change in Syria, or indeed before it, an attempt made to invade Iran. And should that attempt be made, and I expect it will be, there will be a great shock awaiting those who seek to invade Iran, because the Iranian government has implemented the technology that has been developed by that scientist that is of Iranian descent based in Europe called Keshe. And his technology was responsible for the capture of the most high-tech drone that the American military have, and its safe landing in Iran, much to the shock and surprise of the American military. But they believe they have control of everything. They believe they have the ultimate power when it comes to the military process. And it is our view that part of what I have spoken about, the changes that will come forth, is that they will attempt an attack upon Iran, and they will find that they are unable, in fact, to attack Iran, and all of their technology will be rendered inoperable, their planes, their warships, their weaponry, because the electronics will be destroyed in all of that equipment using the technology that the Iranians have at their disposal. And this information has been made known to the United States government through messages from Keshe himself. But they will not listen. And it is my view that the military processes that have been at work upon the planet need to be demonstrated to be futile when they come against real technology that moves beyond this warlike processes upon this planet. So for me, that is of much greater interest than what happens in Syria. Again, what happens in Syria and in these other countries is simply a shuffling of the deck chairs upon the Titanic as we move towards that event at the end of this year.
Thank you. Richard and I have been following Mr. Keshe's discoveries, and we have been very excited about it. Do you see his knowledge being accepted by the world and used? Is this one of the things that's going to make a big change in the status quo as far as power is concerned?
It is a key piece of the puzzle, and it is why Mr. Keshe has come forth in this time to bring this technology forth and make it available to humanity. It will transform the dependence that humanity has on fossil fuel technologies for power and all the control that exists through that. It will simply sweep this away, because you might say he provides very simple ways of accessing what you might consider the background energy to make it available in the scheme of things, the relatively small amounts that you require for operating whatever it is you wish to operate in your consciousness there, whether it be automobiles or transport from a aerial perspective or whatever it may be, including medical technology, including some wonderful new healing processes. So much comes forth from that technology that at this moment humanity has very little understanding of. And of course, the mainstream press will not give any publicity to this man's work. But it is getting out there. And if those events unfold, then of course it will transform the awareness that humanity has of this technology. In many ways, this technology is coming into place in this moment, so it is there, ready and available for when humanity passes through this shift, so that the technology is already implanted in this consciousness as the transition occurs.
Thank you. From my understanding, I believe that there are many that will prevent nuclear war on Earth, nuclear bombs being expended, and an event because of Kesha's technology and other events, I don't see a war involving many countries. What is your perspective of that?
We do not see another, what you might major conflict in terms of a world war being allowed to unfold. And certainly it is true that any further nuclear weaponry will not be allowed to be exploded upon the planet. Indeed, there are many records of intervention back in the Cold War period. Effectively, all of that equipment was shut down so that for a large period of time, there was much public posturing about nuclear weaponry, and it still continues. But indeed, it is simply rhetoric because that equipment is inoperable in almost every case upon the planet. And should anyone seek to use that weaponry, it will be disabled before it can be used. And this indeed has been demonstrated and made clear to all powers that might wish to use this technology, and yet still many are arrogant enough to believe that they can do it should they choose. But that pattern of intervention has been very clear. And the use of the nuclear process for power generation has been allowed so that humanity can understand the folly of this. The folly of nuclear weapons was well demonstrated by what unfolded in Japan. That lesson has been demonstrated. No further examples need to be allowed for this to be understood. And in the case of nuclear power, the folly of this has been very well demonstrated, not only by what happened in Chernobyl, but also what happened in Japan, where the pollution from that meltdown has been far greater than is being publicized. But that awareness will grow as this year progresses. And I will say that all of this disruption of the biosphere will all be cleared up and healed as events unfold.
Thank you. We're going to interrupt my questioning for a moment and take a question from the audience. And Debbie on line 3 has a question.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
I was wondering if you see a complete financial collapse before the end of the year and a switch to a different monetary system?
Thank you for your question. Debbie, we'll pass that along to Mr. Kennedy. Richard, Debbie wanted to know if he sees a financial collapse in this currency and a new currency brought in before the end of the year.
It is unclear exactly how this will unfold. Certainly, there will be attempts by some to introduce new currencies before the end of the year, but it is my view that this will not be allowed. In any case, all of this unfolding will become irrelevant in the new consciousness because different mechanisms and processes will be put in place at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Debbie.
Thank you so much.
I would like your perspective of your opinion as to what you think the new consciousness is. Is that possible?
This is a question to JFK.
Yes.
It is difficult to describe this in any complete way for your audience to understand because The shift is very difficult to imagine. But what I will say is that the spiritual abilities of those who pass through this process will be greatly enhanced. The understanding of who and what each individual is and what it means to be a human being in its fullest sense will be a very real part of the experience of all who transition to that new consciousness. You will all have the experience of being able to communicate with your Creator continuously as other beings do. You will experience the past, present, and future concurrently, not this linear time that you currently experience. You will be aware of your connection back to your monad, the totality of your soul as it was created by all there is in the beginning, and you will be aware of all of your past and indeed some of your future lives concurrently, since they all exist concurrently. And so this whole experience of what it means to be a spiritual being will be awakened for everyone. And of course, as this awareness grows, the whole focus of what it means to be human will be transformed. Your ability to manifest anything that you require in the physical will become part of that experience quite quickly. And so the notion of working for someone to gain the money necessary to buy the things you need to live, such as food and clothing and shelter, will simply wash away. And so the whole basis for living will transform. And of course, people will look at each other from a very different perspective than most do today, because they will understand who and what they are in a very different manner from what they do today. And so the consequences of this is a little hard to spell out, because in some ways, exactly how it will unfold will only be clear when that unfolding progresses, if you understand my words. So yes. I give you some threads of understanding that you might use to, you might say, extrapolate for yourself to get a better understanding of this. But certainly the experience of what it means to be a human being will be very, very different beyond that transition.
It all sounds very exciting. We have a lady who just gives the initial of the letter M on line 2. Welcome. You have a question?
Yes, I do. I have a question for Mr. Kennedy. I'm wondering that during his lifetime in presidency, if he had any awareness or communication with extraterrestrials, and also if he had any awareness that his life was going to be terminated as it was.
Okay. Richard, this lady wants to know if Mr. Kennedy
yes,
had...
Yes, I heard the question.
You heard?
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
I was aware of the extraterrestrials, and indeed I was aware of the agreements that had been made by my predecessors, albeit under some duress, that were made with some of these groups. Indeed, I was aware that there were several groups actively present upon the planet, and there were areas upon the planet set aside where cooperation occurred with some of these groups. It is my view that this was a mistake, and I made this known to those who were involved with these programs. However, it was not something that I indeed could do much about in the time that I was president. So I was very aware of the extraterrestrials, though I did not have any direct contact with them in my time as president. In terms of my demise, I was certainly aware that there were groups who wanted to act to see me removed from my office in some form, but I did not have any specific knowledge of this plot that led to my death. So you could say that in some sense I was aware of a risk, but I refused to be defined by that risk. And so I guess you could say I paid the price for this. Perhaps you could consider that I was a little naive in that stand, but it is a stand that I chose to take, and the results are the results. There is little point in living in regret on any level in that dimension or this one.
Thank you for your answer, Mr. Kennedy, and thank you for your question, Ms. M. You're welcome. We're going to go to the next lady by the name of Beverly, who is on line 3. Welcome, Beverly. We're having some difficulty hearing Beverly. Beverly, are you there?
Oh, yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Now, we'd like your question, please.
Okay. Mr. Kennedy, you touched on the situation with the voting process and the rigging of the machines and so forth. And this has been a great concern of mine with the upcoming election. And I am wondering what we can do, we the people, to make sure that our votes are counted. Do you have any perspective on this, that something that... Could we use paper ballots? Could we do something and maybe get the word around and let it be a valid election?
I agree with you entirely, Beverly. It's one of my questions, too, or concerns. Richard, did you get the question?
Yes. It is my view that this election is occurring so close to the events that will be unfolding that the election will be occurring in a time when that is well and truly understood by the world. And indeed, in many ways, the coming election is likely to unfold in a manner which is very different from the perspective and context in which you currently view it. So I would be less concerned about the potential for rigging of that voting process as the events unfold at the end of this year. Again, your question to a large degree unfolds within the context of the current consciousness. And so it is a question that will wash away as events unfold.
Thank you for your answer. And Beverly, thank you for your question.
Yes.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Talking about elections, Mr. Kennedy, I have been very much aware of some of the proposals that Ron Paul has brought forth, and he hasn't had very much success in the past. What is your viewpoint about Mr. Paul? Do you see him having some success in the elections and perhaps moving further up the ladder than the Senate?
He is one that I put on my list of the exceptions. And as I said, it has surprised me that he has survived this long because of the control that is exercised on that entire institution. However, I do not see Mr. Paul as one who is likely to rise to a position of leadership. Rather, I see that he is someone who will be, you might say, a peer leader within Congress to assist those of his colleagues who begin to recognize how deeply flawed and abused the current system is and who wish to drive some change. You may perhaps have begun to get a sense of that possibility with the support that he recently received for his legislation to see the Federal Reserve fully audited. This legislation, even though this is perhaps his third attempt to get this through in a form that will actually see full audit of the Federal Reserve. Indeed, on this occasion, he has managed to do it, and it got bipartisan support for it. So this is a shift that has surprised and will surprise many. It is part of the consciousness shift that we have been discussing on this call. And so it is more in this vein that I see Mr. Paul providing his leadership and his input to provide that leadership within Congress so that these kind of changes can be brought forth and supported.
Thank you. And yes, that audit really did surprise me too. We're coming close to the end of our show, and I'd like to ask a question about how things operate on the other side, Mr. Kennedy. People, for instance, you had so many connections, family connections with people here on this earth when you were here, of course. And on the other side, do you still work with them, or is it a case of people working on individual projects once they move over to the other side?
This varies greatly. It depends primarily not so much on the relationship which existed in a familial sense on Earth. Rather, it depends primarily upon the existing soul relationships which existed before that incarnation. And in some cases, those who I were connected with in a familial sense were souls with whom I had such a soul connection. And so I am continuing to work with those individuals, whereas others I am not. And so it is, as I say, rather more this soul relationship that exists, which has rather more determined whether I continue to work with those individuals on this side.
Thank you. And furthering that, did your soul monad send a representative here to Earth that we know of as Abraham Lincoln?
This is indeed so.
I felt that that would be so, and I thank you for answering that. Well, your discussion with us has been so enlightening, and we appreciate everything that you have told us. Hopefully, when we move through the new consciousness, you will be available to come back and chat with us again. You think that might be possible?
I would be willing to come forth if you wish me to do so.
Thank you so much. And we appreciate all that you did for our country when you were here, and we appreciate all you are doing now. Thank you again. So, Richard, that was quite, must have been an intense session for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it's, I mean, some of the others that I've done have been more intense than that, but certainly there's a lot of power and a lot of energy there. It takes a lot to do those things. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
Well, indeed, and you're very good at it, and I thank you for your abilities and what you bring forth, and I'm certain that everyone who has heard this feels the same way. We have about 4 minutes. Is there something that you wish to discuss?
Well, something I would like to take the opportunity to mention to people is your wonderful collection of ebooks that you have brought forth over a number of years, going really back to 2005 or a little earlier when you began to bring these forth. And they, in many ways, kind of sneak under the carpet a little bit, but a lot of people are unaware of them. And they really bring forth some quite fascinating information. For example, one of them is called Chaos Before Creation, which is I think something like 13 masters bring forth aspects of healing and other things which connect to this time and the unfolding of events, that has some quite fascinating material in it. The Conversations with Caesar, which again is quite a different perspective on Julius Caesar when you discovered that you indeed had been his daughter, Julia, and indeed the mother of Augustus Caesar. And that's quite a fascinating read for those of you who have not read it. Then there's Archangel Michael's book, Earth History, Past, Present and Future, which really provides a fascinating context for what's gone on the planet and why and what's unfolding. And Carolyn brought that forth, it would be, again, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And there's nothing about it that I would see as being in any manner out of line with what's unfolding. It's quite fascinating material and gives a context that I've not seen expressed anywhere else. And it's something that I read several times when I first got my hands on it. So I do encourage you to read that if you've not already done so. And there are several others there. Viva Papa, which was a number of messages which Pope John Paul II gave to Carolyn whilst he was lying in state, and it was not something she expected, and he just turned up in her awareness when he had crossed over. And during that period, whilst his body was lying in state, he gave her these messages each day, and then on his burial they stopped. And that collection carries some fascinating material. That book's called Viva Papa. And so they go on. Quite a fascinating collection that some people have found and plugged into, but many have not. And so you can find those if you go to the 2012 Countdown website and just go across the top line of that busy menu. On that top line on the right-hand side, you'll see a link there called Carolyn's eBooks. And guess what? That's what you'll find. So go there and check them out if you haven't.
Well, one of the things that I found fascinating about Conversations with Caesar is, I mean, that was done quite a few years ago, and one of the warnings that he gave people at that time was to eliminate debt, which I thought was very interesting because it was the heyday of people taking a lot of equity out of their homes and buying things, so to speak. And he said it was a great danger to do that, to pay down debt. Save money because you're going to, it would be very helpful for you in the future. So I thought that was interesting.
So, Richard, in the context of what's unfolded.
Indeed. Richard, again, thank you for your brilliance. I don't think people realize just how difficult it is to do what you do and to do such a good job with it. We'd also like to thank Mr. Kennedy and those at BBS Radio that take care of us.
And thank you, Carolyn, for your contribution to these sessions. They would be nothing without you.
Thank you, dear. Again, ditto, nothing without you. So until the next time, this is Carolyn Evers sending forth my love and hope and compassion for all of our listeners and humanity in general.
Wonderful. Bye for now.
Goodbye for now.